and we truly draw near, it is one thing that Yahweh will do. He will expose us in His Word. He will show you where you stand. And He is not going to flatter you with lies and tell you you're standing somewhere and you're not. Mothers flatter their children with lies and say they're sweet, but Yahweh is not going to tell you that. He's going to tell you you're a filthy thing. He's going to tell you if you don't get it right in sin, you're going to die. And in the midst of the darkness of hell, you're going to lift up your eyes. He's not going to change it for you or me. They did not love correction. They did not draw near unto the Father. Her rulers or her princes, her chief men, those that lead. And everyone wants to be a chieftain today. Everyone wants to be a chief man. They want to be a master at everything. It's good to have men that can master things and that you can be a student to learn. You know the ignorance of this nation. You think that there are men that have literally spent their whole lives learning how to play a piano. And they are so accomplished that they know every note, every sound. They know the feel of a perfect stroke. They spent their lives hours a day. They understand the masters of music. And yet here I am, not even a novice that maybe know Beethoven, Mozart, don't even know any of the concertos, any of the movement, to try to instruct and to elaborate on that with a man that has literally given his life to that. You see, that's a fool. And that's the way we are. We're foolish people. A fool says no to Yahweh. And men that have literally given their lives over unto studying the scripture, and they understand an in-depth and the intricacies of Scripture, and they give us pointers and understanding. We say, well, that's not right. You're a fool. But a man's heart is sincere and he's desirous to perfect the thing. He must give all to that thing. And there must be love and a compassion. The reason we can never perfect the righteousness of Yahweh, because we lack that love and that compassion for Him. We love food more than we love Him. We love sons, daughters, mothers, kinsmen. We love everything more than we love Him. And we will all say, well, I love God more. Not true. Thank you, brother. There's our only hypocrisy. See, when a man truly loves Him, he's willing to suffer whatever it takes. Shaul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm bound. He said, I'm not even concerned about my life. I have one purpose, and that is the knowledge of this truth is revealed. And that men may know. Because if I don't do this, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to depart. I'm going to leave these brothers in Ephesus, and I know I will never see them again. For I shall meet my fate. For Yahweh has ordained it. But I warn you, elders, as a spirit. And when I leave the light that I brought in the midst, you're going to see this. You're going to see this evolutionary change began to take place. Men will begin to become preeminent, and they want power. They want recognition. Well, I know what Shaul said. Don't you know there was a brother? I'll read it. Can't call his name. But he turned even other brothers away from the assembly. What's his name? It's in Scripture. I'll get to that. He says here in the third verse, her prince within her are roaring lions, just like the devil. For he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking that whom he may devour. That's what he does. There's one thing about a lion, the male and the lioness. The male, he rather and prefers, you lioness go take care of the beast. And they walk around with their great mane and they roar and it intimidates the lioness and then they take over the carcass. He hasn't done one thing, lazy thing, laid around all day. He said the sound of a lion, actually, if you're in close proximity, it would literally, when one roars, it would literally, it would almost bust your eardrums. It is such a ferocious roar. That would almost terrorize anything, wouldn't it? Sure would. You see all that mane coming. 900 pound, 1,000 pound cat, 800 pounds. That's awful big, isn't it? Just like the devil. He says, and her judges, he always set up judges over Israel when they fell in sin, didn't he? He tells us who our judges are like. Her judges are morning wolves. What is the evening time? Is not the sun setting in the evening? That's why you call it evening time. See, they're evening wolves. They gnaw the bones till the morrow. Now what has happened, saints? Why are they walking in this kind of spirit? He tells us here. Her prophets are light and treacherous person. They're wicked men. They're corrupt men. Her priests have polluted the tabernacle, the sacred things of Yahweh, His name, His Son's name, His truth. They have done good unto the law. They have done what? They have done violently unto the law. They have done violently. You see, that is what has caused the spirit to enter in. These treacherous prophets, these wolf judges. They judge with not with the spirit of a righteous law. They judge by emotions and feelings and kinsmanship and looks. That's how they judge. So the evening wolves. The evening now, you notice evening wolves. They're not day wolves. Because a wolf never hunts during the day. It hunts at night. They can be stout. They can move in secret. You can't detect them much. In America, there are only about, what, two species of wolves. And that is the gray and the red wolf. But the gray wolf in America, in North America, mostly in Canada, Alaska, and a few in places like Mexico, New Mexico, and places like that. But they're huge dogs, canines, and they move like a stealth bomber. And they are relentless. When they lay that tongue out of their mouths and begin to pant, they can run for hours and hours. They run for hours and they never give up. Never. Never at all. And they devour the beast and they bring it back to the pride and they will regurgitate it for the little ones. And everyone shares in with the good. Now that's what these wolves are doing today. They're taking this meat of the hope for the saints of Yahweh because their inward parts are so corrupt. They are not regurgitating. They're puking this trash up. It is a stench. It is a vile thing that comes out today. There's no righteousness, nothing to stand on. You could just be religious. And so they go and devour this meat, these wolves. They get the meat of this truth or the meat of the message. And then they go and they internalize it in their corrupt, treacherous, wicked hearts. And then they puke it out for the other dogs to eat. And that's who eating it, the dogs. The dogs are eating it. They're treacherous dogs. And that's who's eating this puke today. That's why Yahweh sent Messiah. He sent him that we will have no doubt. We will not call him God or Lord. As we begin to mature and be nurtured in the truth and come to that knowledge, we will identify who he is. For thou art Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh. You will know who's speaking. So this is the spirit of the leaders today. They are the judges. They are raving, or they are evening wolves. He said, and the priests, they have done violently to the law. The just Yahweh is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He felleth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. They are so unjust. Every morning he brings his judgment to light for us. He shows us, you're wrong, David. The spirit is wrong. And that is his light. You must understand his light is judgment. And in the midst of darkness, there shall be no judgment. It is, they are already judged. And what they're going to receive is the just recompense of their sins and their corruption. So he brings us this judgment. He says, now David, because you did this, this is the reward of that. Now I would say to you, boy, repent. Okay, God, no, you don't acknowledge me that way. There's one that you must have faith in. I gave you an example how to enter into my throne room. Now you come by him. You acknowledge that that's my Messiah is your hope. I do. We must acknowledge that. And it can't come in the name of Jesus because it is a made up generic name, saints. And that's why I use the expression is pagan. It is made up. It is generic. It is a name that the heathens made up. Like they made up the name God and Lord. Adonias. I know that there's a Hebrew expression that says Adonaiah. But there's a Greek expression that says Adonias, which is a Greek pagan deity. Just as though I was showing Brother Jason and Brother Allen, I say, look at how the Greek expression of hell is. They use the word Hades, don't they? That's what hell is. Isn't it Hades? H-A-D-E-S? Is that not a Greek god? And so with their pagan translation, they give the pagan Romans or those that were outside of the kingdom blessed, they gave them assurance that their God had a part of that as well. That's just like the word grace. There is a God, a goddess, her name is Grace. It is Yahweh's love, saints, period. And His love covers everything. His love and His mercy. And because we are such a lazy people, no, these things are not coming by some Yahwehism or some kind of Yahwehist movement. This is coming by the secular understanding that is there for anyone to research and to understand it. So you brothers and you saints, bless me. I'll do it. I won't keep you in the darkness. When I find something, God, I want you to know. I want you to be on the same par as me. Same as me. I want you to talk like me. Walk like me, because I'm going to walk like Him. As He brings me to judgment every day, I want to know what He expects of me. Not what I expect of Him, what He expects of me, because He has already done it all for me. There's nothing to expect of Him. It's what He expects of me. Messiah has already paid the price. He paid it all. All to Him I owe everything. Why? Because sin had left such a terrible stain. But when Messiah came in, He cleansed me of that. Her priests and her leaders, they're very treacherous men, they're wolves. And that is how the Spirit comes in, through the doctrinal teaching and the spirit of these men. They don't care but for one thing. That wolf cares for its belly and the pride. What a word they use, the pride. It doesn't care about another straggling wolf. It would kill it if it tries to intermingle with the pride. It will. It cares about its belly. And that is what every God cares about, its own belly. Nothing else. It doesn't care about the things of Yahweh. And when man become lax in the laws and the righteous instructions of Yahweh, it causes this darkness to permeate in the land. You can't see. Isn't it difficult today to kind of understand spiritual things? To see. We're so cumbersome with traditions and things that we've learned that they are wrong. As the Father spoke to my heart yesterday, there are a lot of things you're going to have to research and understand the clarity of those things. There are a lot of things you're going to have to rethink it. You have to be retaught. And there are. I said to the brothers the other day, I can see why Yahweh, He never intended for us to be caught up in the cares of this life, of the things of this world, because He wanted us to seek and to search for the riches of His truth. And it takes a compassion. He doesn't want us to be rich in these substance of this life. He doesn't want us to have $100,000, $200,000 homes and cars. I don't care what men say. Messiah didn't have it. Was He our perfect example? Was Messiah our perfect example? Was not Shaul our perfect example? Where was his house? And Kephar, those men left everything to follow Him. Bartholomew. All of those brothers. James. Thaddeus. What homes did they have? Where does Scripture talks about the Scripture talk about their riches and the power of their riches. They even said to the brethren, look, find elders, as Kephar said, those that are able to take care of things that are necessary for the daughters of Zion, that we may be given over continuously to the studying of Scripture and prayer. Well, what Scripture were they studying? The laws of the kingdom of Yahweh. You find out honorable men full of the Kodesh Ra'ah, the Spirit of Yahweh, and then we put these responsibilities into their hands, that they will know how to treat or intrigue the daughters of Zion. They will love them and take care of them. I will not be abusive. I will not take advantage of them. That's why it is a tantamount thing that we be filled with the Spirit. We have the anointing of Yahweh's Spirit. Even we don't sense much of that today because there's very little faith. We don't trust what He says. We trust everything but what He says. Scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 22, the wolf spirit. It is real in this hour. Ezekiel 22, beginning at verse 23. He's dealing with the sins of the priests, the leaders. He's emphasizing the sin of those in authority. And above all, he emphasizes the sin of the people. And because of that sin, there is a beast spirit that is in the midst. And it's gnawing on the bones of the people. It's destroying. Isn't that significant? Because the bones of Messiah, not one of them, were broken. And we must have the strength because there in the bones lies the strength to move. It's a metaphor of this mighty strength that was in that body of Messiah. As they bruised and beat him, yet they, not one of his bones were broken. And so the body of Yahweh, a Messiah, was not incapacitated that it could not move forward in the spiritual realm of the laws of Yahweh. We have spent too much time in the natural realm. We must go on into the excellence of the Spirit of Yahweh. You're not going to get it. Hear me, my friends. You're not going to get it spending more time in foolishness than in Scripture. You're not going to get it in Kmart. It comes from the one that marks us. You're not going to get it in Walmart. You're going to have to get it from the one that got the best price. You're not going to find it in Walmart, JCPenney's. You're going to find it in truth. You buy the truth and you don't sell that. You don't sell the truth what we need to buy. Hallelujah. Scripture says in verse 23, and the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, not the word of the Lord or some God, but the word of Yahweh. Ezekiel Yah knew who he was talking to. He said, son of man, say unto her, thou art a land that is clean. See, you're not cleansed. He said to us today, we're not cleansed. Cleanse your hands. Your heart, your spirit. Ye sinners, ye double-minded. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. He said, you're not cleansed, nor rain upon in the days of indignation. He said, there is a conspiracy of her mind. The prophets, in the midst thereof, you mean the prophets conspire? When they take the truth of Yahweh and dismantle it, these men, they call themselves prophets, apostles, and leaders, and yet the simplicity of his truth of his name is not revealed. The tradition and the laws of the traditions won't allow that. Well, his name is not important. How important is your name? How important is your name? You don't want your name scandalized. You don't want what lying on you and your name. You have a name. In everything Yahweh created, the first thing he did, he called Adam to name it. You think Adam was talking to one by the name of the Lord? He was talking to Yahweh. Why would he tell Adam to name him if he didn't have a name? I'm Yahweh, the mighty one. Name that. Because he had the breath of the life of Yahweh, he was able to name it. He said there is a conspiracy. There is a secret, wicked, destructive type of desire in the hearts of her prophets. And in the midst thereof, he said, now he identifies them again now like a roaring lion, raving the prey. They have devoured animals. You tell me the prophets have devoured souls? That's what Yahweh says. Devoured. You understand that? When you devour something, it's a difference between eating something. You tend to be a little more dignified when you eat. When you devour something, it is just a consumption without any thought. Doesn't last long. So they're not devouring the meat, they're devouring the souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious thing. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. They have destroyed the gems. They have taken the life out of the precious ones. Men. The strength of their ability. Pastor Roberts, you reprove. I reprove because I want men to be strong. I will exalt the strength of another man to bring one man under deep conviction and jealousy that he will be promoted to do right. And so when I talk about you or I express you, then you get upset. And all those that like you and know I'm talking to you, then they get upset as well. Am I worried about that? Not one iota. And so they take the precious jewels and they cause the widows, the women to become widows without strength of support. And that's what they have done, this whore, these lying, treacherous prophets. They have taken these Jezebel spirits and they have married them unto their own doctrines, what they have done. And now they put them out and they have no strength at all. The only thing they go on is their little pieces of doctrines they have that's based on a piece of truth and not the fullness of truth. And that's how they all started, on the fullness of truth, on the pieces of truth and not the fullness. I don't care whether they use the name of Yahweh, whatever. It must be the fullness of truth. Messiah was the full expression of Yahweh in earthen vessels. He was in that vessel. He was the full expression. He received the fullness of the Kodesh Ruach. Her priests have upheld the law. See, that's where it started. They violated the law. And have profaned my holy things. His feast days, his gatherings, his Shabbat, his name. And they have put no difference between holy and wicked. Are they doing that today? There's a new radio station. I was listening to it, and you always spoke to my heart. He said, don't you see that the God of this world is so shrewd and so captivating? That this trash that they call hip-hop black gospel, it is, I have no compunction with that. It is an alluring trash of hell. It's no different than the secular R&B. It's no different than the rock, acid rock Christianity type message that the rockers are performing. You always let me know that they're all in one allegiance with the one God of this earth. For he has blinded their mind whereby the light of the mighty power of this message of Messiah shall shine through. Well, what is the light of that message? Yahweh is the mighty one. That is the hope of the message. That is the hope. See, you must understand that he had to die that way to show us who he had hope and confidence in. After 3 days, the Spirit of Yahweh entered into him and he got up. That's why he died. And I want to know the name of that one that rose him up. That's just as important as the one that was raised up. He's not God. He's not Lord. The pagan. All of them. Truth. It's one thing about the English language. You learn things if you desire to know. If your heart is compelled to do certain things. And my heart is compelled to understand certain things. Because I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want to be a shepherd and you're ignorant. I want to take you to the good pastures. I want to take you to the coastal, fescues, green water. It has all the nutrition there. Their grass has green, saints, but it has no value at all. It has nothing there. And so they can eat, but there is no fullness. You don't see the brightness. You don't see the change of their skin or their fur and stuff like that. So as I learn things, as I see things, I want you to know as well. I don't want to hide anything. If I learn it today, I want you to know today. I don't want to wait till sometime next week where I become polluted and deluded and try to teach you. I want you to know today. And as I search and I see the etymology and these words, how they have crept in because the priests and the prophets have been so corrupt. They have not guarded. They have not been a defense for the message of Messiah.
They've guarded their own welfare, their monies, and that's what they guard today, their purse strings. The fabulous homes, their Learjets, and their vacations in Switzerland, and the uttermost parts of the earth, and their champagne, and their Dom Perignon, drinking $1,000 bottles of wine, and $300 cigars, that's what they do. That's not of Yahweh. $3,000 suit, $5,000 shoes, $500,000 watches, and bracelets, and rings, that is not Yahweh. It's the God of this earth, as he offered Messiah those things. He said they have no power. Man doesn't live by those things. He lived by every word of Yahweh. And that's what they have done. That's what they have done. For priests have violated the law. They have profaned my holy things. And they have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. I'm going to tell you who the unclean are and the clean. He says, and they have hid their eyes from my Shabbat. Have they done that today? Have these whole houses done that? You think that his Shabbat is not important? And they will tell you, I will just rest that day. I do rest today. I have a beautiful rest here. I came in feeling not too well. Yet he gives me strength by his unction to declare his truth and light up the hearts of the people that they may have confidence in him. So you tell me today this is, was simply for the day of Ezekiah. He said, they have hid their eyes from my Shabbat. The Shabbat of Yahweh is one of the greatest festivities in America. Ball games today, by the millions they will go. Shopping spree. Dieting, spending. When we should be settled, steadfast, and in place. Television and every kind of vile thing. Birthday parties. Children amusement. Amusement parks. That ought not to be. This is his Shabbat. So the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the apostolic, they say they follow the apostles' doctrine. They are liars. All you apostolics, Jesus' name only, you are a flat-out liar. You don't even know the apostles' doctrine. You don't even know what Shaul, Kephar, Timothy, any of those men said. Because if you did, you would do it. You deny the Shabbat of Yahweh, you are a foul liar. I show you why they do this now. It's because of this world spirit. It's real today, saints. You shut your eyes from the Shabbat, and I am profane among them. Is not that name Yahweh? Do men love it? They argue with it. They tell you they speak English. I speak English. And yet many words of the English vocabulary, which I was stating at first, at the beginning of this, that the English language is made up of, listen, of about 100 dialects and different tongues. That's what it's made up of. There's no Pacific to the English language. And it's made up by men like were bronze workers and farmers and hard laborious men that labor that way. So the English language has no direct pure content to it. That's why it's such a confusing language. But not so with the Hebraic tongue. It is the tongue that Yahweh spoke to his people in. That's the tongue he did. And men will say, he understands all languages. I believe that. But yet he spoke in a language that his name was made known unto man. It is not difficult to say that name, Yahweh. And in every language, it is the same. How do you know? Well, how do the people from China, Taipei, Philippines, they come to our internet site? Because there's one thing that they do know. Yahweh. They know that that name is consensus throughout the world. He's not coming and they call it upon Jesus here in Spanish, Jesus in America, whatever it is in Aramaic. That is why the Yardim, the Orthodox, Yardim Jews will not have anything to do with what we call pagan Christianity. Because they know the tenets of it. It is pagan, it is Mithraism, and it is. It's a divided thing. Why? Because the kingdom of hell operates in it. It is the power of darkness.
It controls it. It's organizing forces, and it keeps everyone scattered, that they will never be able to come to one conclusion that it is Him. They can't see Him. Their eyes are so blind, they cannot even see this power of hell. Scripture says, her princes in the midst thereof are like what? Wolves, raving the prey to shed blood and to destroy one thing. To destroy what? And that is the breath of Yahweh. That's the breath of Yahweh. To destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Now, hear me, people. Awaken yourselves. You tell me that these wolves in this dark hour, these treacherous lying prophets, that they are not getting gain for themselves. You tell me that the word of Yahweh did not see this plethora of this spirit in this hour. They are their princes, their leaders. Do not they live like princes? Do not the Creplo dollars, the Benny Hens, the T.D. Jakes, do not they live like princes of nations? They live better than kings and rulers. And everything is about a dishonest gain. Why? Because they have turned their faces from the Shabbat, from the true things of Yahweh, and they tell you they're following the apostles' doctrine. I say the T.D. Jakes, a child of hell, the Bishop Logan, all of them, they're corrupt men. Paul Crouch and all of them, they're wicked men. Vile men. They don't know Yahweh. They're evening wolves. And they're out in the night season. This is the night season. We can see the proliferation of those kinds of ministry. Well, the Creplo Dollar ministry. The Bishop McClendon ministry. Are they not chief men? Are they not princes? That's why the ministries are named after them. Are they not princes? That's what they are. That's right, brother. Hallelujah. Your brother wrote me and said, Pastor Robert, I listen to you all the time, as much as I can. That's how he said it. He said, what truth comes? It caused my soul to be set on fire. Why? Because we as a people need correction. And the only way we're going to be corrected is in light of Scripture. You get upset when someone tells you things that concerns you in a way that is not even from Scripture. And then you get hostile and angry when Yahweh corrects you. That's why we need correction. Of course, we don't like that. He says in verse 28, and our prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God. That's what they're saying. When Yahweh have not even spoken to these dogs, the people of the land has used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. They do the stranger because they're not familiar with him. They do them wrongfully. If one is not associated in your clan or your group, then you treat them or you treat them a little different than the ones that you're familiar with. That's wrongfully. It's wrong. It's not of your way. It's not at all of your way. Well, Pastor Roberts, you deal with one brother different than you do the other. I know, because this man is more stronger than that brother. I deal with him on the basis of his strength. And one on the basis of his weakness, I deal with him that way. That's how I do it. So a matter of strength, I will ask him and expect him to do more than I will ask a man of little strength. That's the way it goes, sister. That's why I do things. And it's done by the leading of the Spirit. There must be a correction, and we must constantly be corrected. His judgment is sent forth every day. We ought to bless him for that. He says, that this is the sad part, verse 30. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. I sought and knew that Yahweh had put a hedge around Eob and Job. He said, I sought a man amongst them that would make up the hedge. He said, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found only one. Didn't find a one. Is that sad? Well, things have changed. They've become more polluted now than they have in that hour. The hour's more dark. He said, I didn't find one. Didn't find one to stand. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. For their own way have I recompense upon their heads, saith Yahweh. He said, what they have already done, the reason I'm doing this is because of what they have done. They have done those things, and I'm going to recompense upon their own heads for what things that they have done. He looked for a man to stand, a man that was prayerful, a man that was sincere, a man that had a devotion unto Yahweh. He said, I did not find a single man to stand in the gap. And yet we all think that we have a great essence or a great anointing and power. And Yahweh said, I need a man to pray. Where is he? Of course, last night I didn't feel like getting up to pray. Now you may say you did, but I didn't. And the flesh looked for a way out. Thank you, Father. If there's anything I want to be, I just want to be flat out honest and truthful. That's what we never get from one point to the other. When a man does his wife wrong, if he can't realize that he's doing her wrong, he will never get beyond that. If a wife does her husband wrong, if she can't realize that, she will never get beyond that. If you walk in hypocrisy and never identify your hypocrisy, but you identify mine, you will never get beyond that. And we need to identify those things. If you know you are a liar and you lie and you never identify that you are a liar, you will never get beyond that. You must first of all recognize what you are. And then what you began to do, you began with the vengeance, you began to work on those things. Can I ask you a question? You think a man that spends 6 hours a day doing a craft or something that he is trying to master that diligently, you think that he's going to get ahead of me, become more perfect in that, in his knowledge and understanding of that, if I only spend 10 minutes a day on it? Which one you think shall arrive first? Well, the one that spent amp time. And if you don't spend no time with Yahweh, you think you're going to arrive? You will never arrive. Now, either you're going to spend time in one of the two vineyards, in the vineyard of darkness and deception and death and corruption, or in the vineyard of Almighty Yahweh. It's going to be one. You're going to either spend time doing the things that Yahweh commands you to do and instructs you, or you're going to spend time doing the workings of darkness and hell, whereby your mind becomes so dark and dense that even the light of truth cannot even penetrate it. It's one of the two, brothers and sisters. There's no middle ground. Because there's no middle form of light or darkness. It's either light or darkness. It's dim, but it's still light. And that's the mindset of this generation, because it's so full of hypocrisy and so full of sin. And the reason why, because it's not spiritual enough to judge her. Judgment must first begin where? At the house. Well, what is this? The house of Yahweh, your spiritual body? So it begins with you first. And it begins there with you. Where shall those that do wickedly and deny the truths of Yahweh, where shall they appear before him? So we don't want judgment to begin here with us. It's all right for them to begin with that brother or that sister, but not me. Start here, Father. Judge me. Because I know that's my correction. That's my strength and power. He judged the righteous. But the wicked, he just hanging with them every single day. Hallelujah. He said, they shall recompense for their own sins and their own corruption. Now there are two aspects of what Shaul said to those brothers. I want to go back. He says that after his departing, grievous woe shall enter. That they will be the ones that enter in. They will be the ones, the grievous woes. Now, I don't have time to go into the other aspect. I will leave that for another day of preaching, but it's good too. But I want to say this. The scripture says, in Yohanan 10, verse 12, this is what Messiah said. I want to read this. This spirit arises during the dark period of time in the lives of men and in a nation. And we can see that today, the spirit arising. Messiah says in Yohanan chapter 10, he tells us in verse 10, he says, first of all, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I want to comfort you. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He tells them that I am the good shepherd. This world doesn't want good shepherds today or good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now that's what a good shepherd does. He will lay down his life for the sheep. He said, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he see who coming? He see the wolf. He see this spirit coming. He knows this wolf spirit. He sees it coming. And he leaveth the sheep and he fleeth, or he runs. And that's what these howlings today, they flee, they run. When there are issues and circumstances that deal with the eternality of each person, they flee from it. They run from it. They don't want to deal with it. They want to sidestep it. They want to go to some other issue. They rather the political issue or the sports issue. And they don't want to deal with the thing that is necessary whereby that inward worm is destroying the belly of the sheep. They get worms relatively easy, don't they, brother? Sheep, goat, same family. And they die very easily. So you got to take them to the right proper grazing ground. It's a mixture of certain things that they must have. You just can't give them all grass. They must graze. And so I just can't preach all faith to you. I can't preach all name to you. I can't preach all resurrection to you. It must be the full knowledge and the range of His truth. And that's why it's good to have brothers that can teach on this, can preach on that, can speak from this perspective. It's good to have that. It's a wonderful thing. For we must declare the full range of Yahweh. His holiness, His power, His correction, His love, His hatred. We must declare the whole range of the Father. And everything about Yahweh is significant. And so when the howling sees, when he sees the wolf coming, I believe I would run if I saw a wolf coming. I would find me a tree because I don't believe a wolf can climb a tree, can it? Nah. He's not coming up a tree. I would run to the tree of life. Let me get that tree. Let me just get to the tree. I will find some way to get up the tree. You understand that? And the natural says, sure I would. But in the spiritual realm, we ought not to run. We ought to stand because what there's only one thing we defend. We don't defend the personality of David Roberts, Betty Honeycutt, James Effler. We defend the defense of His truth, His law, His righteous government. And even though we may break that law, we find resurrection hope in that truth of whom He is. So we set for a defense for that. Don't defend me. You're a fool if you defend me. Don't defend me to no one. Period. I don't want you to defend me. He is my defense. He is my hedge. I don't need nobody to defend me. I don't need to defend myself. Care what man say. I think. Makes no difference at all. Don't try to defend me. Care what nobody say. Don't you defend me. You defend His truth. You defend that. That's what you defend. He said, but the hireling, he sees the wolf coming. And he leaveth, look at who he leaves now, the sheep, and fleeth. David didn't leave the sheep. He destroyed that lion. He didn't leave the sheep. He said, and the wolf catcheth them, and he scattereth them, or violently, cruelly. It's an oppressive thing. That means more than just for them separating. It is a terrorizing type thing. You tell me a wolf would not terrorize? Gray wolf in America weighs about 200 pounds. They get about 210 pounds. That's pretty big. And they probably, in their jaws, they probably have probably, I don't know, I'm using this as an expression because I know what a domestic dog like that Rottweiler, or the Rottweilers I have, what they have. They have 900 pounds of pressure per square inch. You understand that? No, we don't. That means that when he grabs hold of you, you take not getting loose. And if he grabs hold of your larynx or your throat, the dog got it. And the wolf is tougher than that. Because it has not been domesticated and bred it down like the dogs that we use today. It is in its full natural strength. So probably 1,500 pounds of pressure. And so it just crushes the neck of a wildebeest or of a caribou or a deer. Just bam. Once it gets hold of that neck, believe me, the deer is not going any farther. Hallelujah. He said, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. and doth not, and what? He does. Is that what he says? He careth or careth not? For who? He said, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, who is the Father that know him? Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Is not that the way a packer or a pride of wolf is? One fold. Messiah says it will be one fold. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No man take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, the Father told him, you're going to have power to get up. Why? Because I said it. And he had power. So it is in this hour that these lying hirelings today, they see the wolf and this wolf spirit. And what is the form of this wolf spirit? It's taking the young girls into every kind of vile, malicious, wicked type thing there is. Every kind of sexual perversion. Every kind of corrupt thing. Can I tell you something, saints? I will tell you the truth. I had to go out yesterday, and as I walked in the store, what is that little green thing, that little, this movie they have out? Tell me. Shrek. Yeah. And that thing, as I stopped, it was a television, you know, and I looked at it, and I saw the luring power and how that vile, corrupt thing with that funny look, and how that the people were just buying the DVDs. Look at this. And the witchery and the satanic alluring power that stimulates this corner dog mind. That's what it does. I'm telling all you, that's what the games and all of these strange, crazy, foolish things. Get them out of this place. I don't care who got them. Get them out. It is not of your way. He doesn't want you to spend any time in those things. And there's no time for scripture. You spend time with him. Those things are no good. And I watched how the folks, how they came and they bought those things. Old folks. Young folks. And I looked at that thing and said, man, what a power of witchcraft. Even as I saw it, I said, what a power of witchcraft. It caused me to begin to search myself and say, man, this is a strong power. It's strong. Why is it strong? Because they have forgotten the laws of Yahweh. They've gone against the laws. They despise the things of Yahweh. And because of that, then Yahweh is causing darkness to come. And the wolf, the spirit of the wolf, is overtaking the folks. It's gnawing at their bones. This is going to break and destroy the souls. Do you hear me? They say it destroys the soul. And that soul is whereby the breath and the power of Yahweh nurtures us. And he breathed into man, he became a living soul. Father, send the true men of Yahweh to preach and to speak. This house will be open, Yahweh. You know my heart. You know my desire. Send them. And I mean that. I know there are precious brothers out there. Yet they have the same limitations that I have here. See, the folks, if I was preaching in the name of Jesus, even the way I preach, folks, send me money. There are men out there far less shallow than me. I'm a shallow man, but they're shallow. And they send them tunes of thousands of dollars a month. And the only reason I stay on this short way, because there are those that write and send a little offering. Brother out there in St. Louis, he said, Pastor, do you know anyone that I can fellowship with? Anywhere. I then to Washington State, and they send a little offering to help to stay on the radio. It's only because the faithfulness of you that give, believe me, is not coming in from the broadcast. Because I have determined many times to go off. But I know that there are someone, there are those out there that need to hear. And their hearts burn. And those that don't even know his name, they know when they hear it what they have been taught in their traditional whorehouses. That is wrong. And they're seeking truth. A brother wrote me the other day, he says in the letter, he said, Pastor Robert, it is one thing, profound when he said it. It is one thing that when the student is ready for the teacher, Yahweh will send the teacher. Do you hear that? He said, when the student is ready to hear, then Yahweh will send the teacher. He said, I'm a seeker of the truth. I want to know it. When the student is ready, the teacher loves teaching. What teacher wants to teach a rebellious student? They don't even like them. They'd rather not even deal with them. I know I would rather not deal with a rebellious student. I'd rather deal with one whose heart is sincere and willing to learn and wanting to learn and has a desire. One that has no desire to learn, I don't want to deal with them. As often I said to Elder Martin, I said to him, Deacon Ben, I said, I pray that Yahweh send us at least two families. Three would be beautiful brothers. Men that know how to take control. Because the brothers that are out working, I would like to have them here because I know I can have things that they know how to do. And I just cannot put everything on one brother. And when you don't have brothers in a small group like we have that willing to take control and knowing what needs to be done, and there's an emphasis on that, then what do? You simply pray, Father, send me some brothers like that. And I do. I pray for that. I do. I say to Elder Martin, when I say that, I know how you're going to respond. I know how Deacon Benny, I know how Brother Dale respond when I say that. I say, That's how they respond. Say, we all right. That's exactly how they respond. Oh, Brother Dale will look at me and say, well, yeah. Tell the Martin boy, he goes, nah. Deacon Benny always said the same thing. But you always will if he send me a brother too. I can put all the mechanic works while these brothers go out. But a man has a heart that is willing. It is not accounted to him of what he hath not, but what he had. They just take a willing heart. That's all it takes, brothers and sisters. May Yahweh bless you. Let us bow our heads. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for all things. Give us strength and peace and understanding in our hearts today. Fill our hearts with love for your truth and a desire to please you. In Messiah's name, hallelujah. Prayers are very essential, and that is the thing that the enemy wants to draw us all away from. He wants to remove us from the prayer closets, keep us from praying. You know, something is wrong, saints. We ought to want to pray. We ought to want to pray. We are led by the Spirit as Messiah was led, as he agonized there in Gethsemane. Before the great trial and affliction of his flesh, he had to pray. And there's a great Gethsemane, a great agony for us. And when there is no compelling in our hearts to pray, then there's something and a God and a spiritual power that has replaced that. And there's something that is more important than prayer. I don't care what it is. Prayer is essential. And we must pray. You must pray. You need to pray. We need to pray. It is important that you have faith to lay hands on your wife, your son, your brother, and pray the prayer of faith. I believe all this is coming down. I believe and I know it. When the medical system falls, I'll be so glad when that God is brought down off his pinnacle. Eclipius has the same symbol as the Eclipius of the Greek mythology, same God, same serpent, same staff, same thing used in every hospital of the world because there is a God that rules and tries to contort and change the bodies. Change the bodies of women, taking out things, the bodies of men. It ought not to be so. Yeah, we never intended for that. I do believe that doctors are good for things, to sew up a wound, to mend a leg, to put it in a cast and all that. But when they began to go beyond that, to cut in someone's body and try to find, to eradicate this wickedness. And because they're so filthy, that in my days as a young boy, I recall the family doctor, you only went maybe once to get the shots or something drastic. And they would tend to come around to your house. Wasn't much medicine that they offered. Oh, he'll be all right. He just got a little fever, this and that. Just give him a little water and a little milk or something. And many times they would give out sugar pills just to make folks think they got a little something. Nothing there. That's all they would do. Many times a little sugar pill or some old pill. Doctor, this going to help me. Yes, ma'am, that's going to help you, honey. Just take one of these, two of these a day, and you'll be all right. Nothing.
How much owe you? Give me $1.50. That's the way they did it. See, it was not a corrupt thing. And now they've gone beyond the laws of Yahweh, cutting and taking off breasts and all of that. Yahweh has a course. When we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap. We sow to the flesh, we're going to reap cancer and tumors and all of, we're just going to reap it. That's it. You sow to the flesh of the flesh, ye shall reap corruption. And these things are corrupt things in our flesh. And these things don't prevent us from praying and crying out unto Yahweh. They don't circumvent us from doing that. So we have done much sowing to the flesh, eating the way we do, the way we live, and things we've done that. And so there's a price to pay. Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we have sown those things, we're going to reap those things. Don't tell me that because all those years I played basketball on those courts, my knees hurt, I can't. They don't loosen up like a young man's knees. So don't tell me I haven't paid for that. Don't tell me I'm not reaping those things because I am. I am reaping them now. I am. Believe me, I do reap those things because I've sown to the flesh. But Pastor Robert, God heals everyone. I want to ask you a question. As you always taught me years ago, in the early parts of the ministry, if I got that finger cut off before I got saved, would it still be off? Sure it would. You say what you want to. Not that Yahweh can't grow another finger. Not that he can't put me another one there. But because of my sins, I was doing something I should not have been doing. I was hard-headed. Can't tell you nothing. I wasn't paying attention. And boom, it went off. Now, he can't put another one there. But I doubt if he's going to put one there. It's just a reminder, all of that foolishness. You look at certain scars, you say, oh boy. And it makes you ever so thankful unto him. See, if he put you all back perfect and all that, everything, you would just go out and have to fool again and come back, fix me up. So those things are reminders. You see what is done to your body? Then you can be so thankful and say, Father, I bless you. I'm not even worthy, but you bless my heart. Thank you. I was a fool. Come on, women go out and drink all their days, and men, they got ulcers, they got certain things in their bodies. Just thank Yahweh that you brought me through another day. They go in there, cut out half of your belly and all of that. No, not Yahweh doesn't attend that. No more than someone going and brother sew him up like brother, but we sewed our brother Dave that day. That's all. Prescribing all kinds of antibiotics and all kinds of drugs. Yahweh doesn't attend that. No, he doesn't, saint. No, $1 million bill just to do an operation. He never intended to put you in bondage like that. He knows that this natural body is going to die. And he made it truly. This body can't live 120 years, but because of sin. Because of sin, saint. And sin is always an act of one thing, saint. Whether we want to agree with it or not, it's just an act of one thing. Can I tell you what it is? Will you believe me? It's just an act of disobedience. We are hard-headed people. We are stubborn, hard-headed people. We don't want nobody. We don't even want you. Always tell it. We get mad at him. And don't sit here and say you never got mad at him. In the form of God, Lord Jesus, you got mad at him. You talking to me? Yes, sir. Right at you, ma'am. So we get upset with him. That ain't what the word said. That's what it says. That's why you're fighting. That's what the devil said. Hallelujah. We want to know the truth. And that shall make us free. May Yahweh bless you and keep you all. They give you strength and cause your heart to be encouraged. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Be encouraged, saints. Messiah is coming. Father, bless your people. Go with them, I pray. I think Messiah is a wonderful name. Yahweh bless you. Bless you all, saints.